Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of Be Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
Are you excited to be here? I haven't preached in English for quite a while. It feels weird. I want to just do what is fit. And we've spoken about principles and requirements in the Word of God. And we should never in our life come to a place where we confuse principles with requirements. Faith is not a principle. Faith is a requirement for a believer. Honor is not a principle. Honor is a requirement. The Bible says, honor your mother and your father so that the days in the land that I've granted you may be extended. And there's a correlation between life and honor. But honor is upwards and downwards. Say amen. So I want to honor the mother and father of this house. Come on, can you stand up? Let's give them a round of applause. We love you. I want to honor you as Be Church for serving, for being faithful to the call over your life. Give yourself a round of applause. Come on. And then we want to honor God because God is faithful. Come on. I'm going to preach from a topic this morning, faith that yields, trust that inherits, because we're anointed for purpose. Faith that yields and trust that inherits. Romans 11:29 says the following, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, though without repentance. And the Greek word for the word gift here refers to a spiritual blessing. And the Greek word for the word calling means an invitation for what is divine. In other words, the gifts that are given by God and a divine invitation are irrevocable. So what God is saying is, and Paul was writing to Israel, he was saying that God will not revoke his covenant. That which he has promised to Israel, he'll be faithful towards that. When God has given us gifts and callings, God will not come and say, you've been disobedient and I'm going to take away your calling. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the gifts and the calling are without repentance. That's a good place to say amen. Otherwise, none of us would have had gifts or calling, because we all fall short. And when I read the scripture, it started stirring my spirit, because I realized that the gifts are without repentance, but the Bible says it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that sustains us. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. This is what the book says in Isaiah 10:27. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day that this burden shall be taken away from thy shoulder, and his yoke from thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. And then Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The anointing is not passive. The anointing is active. It says, and healing the oppressed of the evil. And God was with them. It heals, it delivers, it liberates. But I want to challenge us as a church this morning, as a Pentecostal church that believes in the gifts of the Holy Spirit that flows by power. Amen? Do you know that God has given us natural gifts and spiritual gifts? And these gifts are for the body of Christ, so that His name can be glorified. We all have different gifts. We all serve in different ways. But ultimately, these gifts are used so that we can glorify His name, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. The fivefold ministry has a responsibility to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So who's doing the ministry? The fivefold ministry or the saints? Amen. We have a responsibility. But the Bible says these gifts are without repentance. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And I want to challenge you this morning. If we're going to be a Pentecostal church that becomes dependent on the gifting only, we become dependent on something that is not connected to repentance, and anything that is not connected to repentance will not produce the anointing. Because the Spirit of God leads us to repentance. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. I can ask Sabrina to come on stage and sing a song, and she will do it any day, Monday to Friday. I can ask Adrian to come forward and preach a sermon on business administration and teach you certain things, and he can do it anyway. I can ask Yaku to come forward and prophesy, and he can do it anyway. I can ask Voter to come forward and explain the two-part system for us, and he can do it anyway because he's gifted in it. There's knowledge, there's understanding, but it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And if we become a church, if we are a Pentecostal church that becomes dependent on the gifting only and we're not connected to repentance, there's no yoke breaks. There's no yokes breaking. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that sustains us. And if we become dependent, guys, on the gifting only, what we become is this spiritual superior. Superiority spiritually brings isolation, and isolation brings manipulation, and manipulation is witchcraft. And I've been in a time in my life where my love for the gifts of God were greater than my love for God. Bible says when Adam and Eve sinned, they covered themselves with fig leaves, and Jesus comes in the New Testament and he rebukes a fig tree for not producing fruit in season. Whenever we move in the gift but not in the anointing, we have to start covering. And I was in a place in my life where I said, God, I want him into Negev. Now, Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he journeyed on from Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar first. And there Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. And Lot, who went with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents, so that the land could not support both of them dwelling together. For their positions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And that time the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in that land. Verse 8. And then Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are family. Can we say family? For we are family. I want you to understand the Bible says that Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. When Abraham came back from Egypt, he came with great riches. But Abraham should have never used the blessing that God brought to him in Egypt as a justification for going there. God is gracious. The Bible says grace to grace, beauty to ashes. And oftentimes, even in our disobedience, being in the wrong place, God blesses us because God is faithful, God is gracious. And Abraham uses this to justify why he went to Egypt. And I asked myself, Lord, how many times am I justifying what I'm doing because your hand is still on my life? The fact that you're coming back from Egypt with riches does not make you obedient. Abraham was disobedient. He should have never taken his nephew from Haran to Canaan, and he did. He should have never taken his wife and his nephew to Egypt, and he did. In fact, he lied. He sinned because of his disobedience. He caused his wife to sin because of his disobedience. He had his nephew in trouble because of his disobedience. And he trusted in his ability to lie over God's ability to provide. And he comes back from Egypt with all of this livestock, all of this riches, all of this soul. And I'm saying, Lord, something's wrong. But God is gracious. God is faithful to you and me. And even though we're coming from a place of Egypt, God still blesses us. But my question is, are we using this blessing as a justification for going there? We're going to go to verse 9. It says, is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. And if you take the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, in the direction of Zoar. Two more verses. It says verse 11. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. Conflict will arise even amongst the righteous. Look at your neighbor. Say, conflict will arise even among the righteous. Tension arose not between Abram and not between Lot, but between the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot. Strife can be a byproduct of blessing when resources, positions, or recognition increases, relationships in your life will be tested. I'm going to say that again. When resources, position, or recognition increases, relationships in your lives will be tested. Success can create room for tension if not managed with maturity. Success can create room for tension if not managed with maturity. Strife doesn't necessarily mean that someone is evil. Do you know that? There was strife between the herdsmen of Lot and strife between the herdsmen of Abram. It doesn't necessarily mean it was evil. When there's strife or irritation in your heart towards a certain person or a certain thing, it's a call from God for you to move in maturity and move in wisdom. Because Abram had to be mature, firstly, we're going to get to that now, and secondly, wise, because God spoke a word over his life. So if there's tension in your heart this morning towards anything or anyone, I want to say this. The Holy Spirit is calling upon you to be mature and to make wise decisions. Proverbs 27:21, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, and a man is tested by the praise with a Z that he receives. The refining pot and furnace gold of a man is tested by the praise that he receives. Success can create space for selfish ambition unless tempered by humility and trust in God. Success can create space for selfish ambition unless tempered by humility and trust in God. I want to touch on a second point quickly. Abraham's response. Abraham chose peace over position. Abraham chose peace over position. The Bible says, Abraham said to Lot, if you go left, say shot left, or you go, if you go left, I will go right. If you go right, then I will go left. You have to understand that Abraham received a promise, Genesis 12, a promise from the Lord. He said, I will give you this land. Abraham had no need to give Lot anything. In fact, because Abraham was born before Lot, he was superior to Lot in the Old Testament, which means he was the one to make a decision first. Legally, he should have decided first. But he chose peace over position, and he said to his nephew, if you go left, I will go right. If you go right, I will go left. And I want you to understand the impact of this. It says the following. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Instead of asserting authority, he seeks peace, and he offers Lot the first choice. Maturity. Wisdom. Abraham valued relationships over rights. I'm going to say that again. Abraham valued relationships over rights. I want to ask you this morning, are you willing to value relationships over rights? Are you willing to choose peace over position? Are you willing to sit back and trust in God and say, Lord, I know you've spoken a word. I've been disobedient, but understand when he turned away from Egypt back into Canaan, there was a change in Abraham's heart. He was going back to the place where he initially pitched a tent. He went back to the place where he initially built an altar. And it's in this place we started, in this place where Abraham realized that God would have provided for him anyway. His time in Egypt was wasted time. God would have given to him in Canaan what God gave to him in Egypt. He's in this place And I believe there's a revelation in his heart where he chooses peace over position, knowing that God will provide. We choose peace over position and unity over personal gain. I want you to hear me this morning. I want you to close your eyes just for a minute and hear these words. Are you willing in this next season of your life to choose peace over position and unity over personal gain? Peace over position and unity over personal gain. In your eyes. The Bible says that Lot chose and he went east. He looked at the Jordan and Lot went to the east side, to the eastern side. And this is the thing. Lot chose the land that looked the best. Lot chose the land that looked the best with his physical eye. Lot made a decision based purely on what he could see. Lot made a decision based purely on what he could see. You and I cannot make decisions in this season of our lives purely based on what we can see. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11, 8 to 10 says the following, and Abraham lived by faith, seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham lived by faith, seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. Faith allows us to release control and trust God will bless us no matter the outcome. Listen, faith allows us to release control first and trust that God will bless us irrespective of the outcome. Irrespective of the outcome. In Genesis 19, we see Lot losing everything. When judgment came over Sodom, Lot loses everything. He gets the first choice. He does not choose peace over position. He does not choose unity over personal gain. He chooses what only his physical eye can see. And I believe he reasoned with himself. If I could go to Jordan, maybe my livestock will be able to increase and I will be able to bless God there. There's a lot of people that are wicked in this valley of the eastern side. Maybe I can preach to them. Maybe I can convert them. I see Lot sitting with himself. And Lot lost everything because he chose. And I want to encourage you in this season. It's not about what you see. It's about what God said. Maybe it doesn't look the way you want it to look in your business. Maybe it doesn't look the way you want it to look in your church or in your family. But when God releases a word, God is faithful to perform that word and watch over that word until it accomplishes what it was sent forth to do. We will not be like Lot in this season. We will not choose what we can see with our eyes, which seems fit for the season. We will choose peace over position, and we will choose unity over personal gain. When God gave the land to Abraham, he didn't give him a title deed. Abraham didn't walk with his title deed and said, listen guys, this is my land. There was no title deed. Abraham walked by faith. By a word released over his life by a God. Maybe you don't have the title deed in your hand this morning. I want to say the word of God is good enough. The promise over your life for the season is good enough because God is faithful. In the end, he sought this world. This is what Alexander McLaren said. In the end, he who sought this world lost it. And he who was willing to give up anything for the honor of God, found it. He who sought this world lost it, but he who was willing to give up anything for the honor of God, found it. I want to show you what happens to Abraham in this place of despair, in this place of disobedience, in this place of turning back to God. in this place of choosing peace over position, in this place of choosing unity over personal gain, in this place of saying, God, I know I made a mistake. Lord, I want to come back to this tent that I originally pitched. I want to come back to this altar that I built. I want to show you what God does. Genesis 13, 14 to 18, it says, the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land that you see I will give to you and to your offspring forever. God comes and reaffirms the promise of land over Abraham's life. And then it goes further in verse 16, and I will make you an offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if you can count the dust of the earth, your offspring could also be counted. So otherwise, God comes and reaffirms the promise that he gave to Abraham in Genesis 12 about the land. But then God goes further and reaffirms the promise of a nation, verse 16, over Abraham's life. And then goes further in verse 17, it says, arise, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I will give it to you. So Abraham moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron, and there he built an altar. Verse 17, God says, arise, walk through this land. I want to release this over you this morning. Arise and walk through this land. God comes, even though Abram was disobedient, and reaffirms the promise over the land. God comes and reaffirms the promise over the nation. And then God says, now this is physical. I want you, Abram, to arise and walk this land. Northward, southward, eastward, westward. And it stirred my heart when I read that scripture, because I realized often at times, if I were in Abram's position, I would have said this: God, give me the title deed, then I will walk the land. You give me the title deed, so I didn't, because they're going to ask me. I'm going to be confronted. I'm going to go through challenges. I'm going to be harassed. I'm going to probably be shoot at. So give me the title deed so I can say this belongs to me. God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a title deed. I gave you a promise over the land. I gave you a promise over the nation. Now I want you to get up, go northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Abraham had to act by faith on a word over his life. And I want to ask you this morning, when last did you remind God of the word spoken over your life? When last have you prayed, Lord, I thank you that you've called me in the office of X, and I thank you, Lord, that this word will accomplish. Maybe it doesn't feel like it in the season. Maybe you're saying, Lord, maybe you feel like Abraham. The word of God is true. The word of God will not change. I want to encourage you this morning to get up, to reaffirm that word in your heart, over your land, over your family, over this nation, and get up. This is what the word says. It says, and Abraham moved his tent and came and settled by the oak of Mamre, which are at Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. The word Mamre here in the Hebrew means vision. The word Mamre is vision. The word Hebron means communion. Abraham once again walked in vision and communion with God after God came and reaffirmed the promise over his life. After God came and reaffirmed the promise over the land. After God came and reaffirmed the promise over a nation. A tent was a temporary thing. Bible says he moved his tent, but an altar was a permanent thing. A place of consecration, a place of worship. You don't have to preach altars in B Church. Amen. Because anyone knows about altars, it's B Church. If you want God to respond with fire, build an altar. But there cannot be an altar without a sacrifice. And Abraham came and he took the tent. He moved it to the place where God restored vision, where God restored communion. And he built a place of consecration there. My question to you this morning is, are you willing to move your tent to Mamre so that God can come and restore vision in your heart so that God can come and restore communion in your heart? Are you willing to build an altar at that place, a place of consecration? Because it's from that place of relationship, it's from that place of understanding where God is taking us, where we move and produce the anointing. It's from that place of consecration where the oil flows. It's from that place of sitting down where God crushes and releases. We're not going to be a church that is connected only to the gifting. Even though he came from Egypt, he came with great riches, gifting. He moved his thing to Mamre, to communion, to vision. And it's there, the Bible says, where you build an altar. And I encourage you this morning, the blessing follows your act of humility. And when you release what seems good, God will give you what is best. God wants to restore vision. God wants to restore communion with you and me. Are you willing to build an altar at that place? We're going to take up an offering this morning. And I want to just share a principle with you. If you are clinging to pride or to positions or to visible gain like Lot, I want to encourage you this morning to have faith that yields. To trust God, because in that trust we inherit. I want to encourage you to walk by faith. I want to encourage you this morning to choose peace over position. To choose unity over personal gain. Let go of strive and make room for what God wants to do in this season. Make room. We started this year 2025 when we said 5 times 5, grace multiplied for the fivefold finished for the harvest. Make room for the harvest. Make room for the harvest. Do you know how we make room? We choose peace over position. We choose unity over personal gain. And we build an altar where God releases vision and where God restores communion. Because God is a God of relationship.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bechurch.co.za. You're formed to function. Let's be church.